Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
What's happening? We present to you Fabulous Fridays, produced by the amazing producer himself, G. Lou, hosted by Queen Jean and Cousin Marcy. Tap into our studio line at 914-803-4001. Press 1 to speak. West Coast at 7 o'clock p.m. and East Coast 10 o'clock p.m. If you can't get to a phone, you can listen online at blogtalkradio.com/the G-Lou Show. Thank you very much for your support. Looking forward to giving you all a fantastic, fabulous show. One love, Ashe. Peace.
Yeah, yay. Welcome to the G. Lou Show, Flashback Fridays. I am G. Lou. And I'll be joined by my angels, Queen Jean, and Marcy, Cousin Marcy. Happy New Year, everyone. Tonight we have a special edition of Flashback Fridays. Top of the year, I told you we'll be back hooking up with BTP Media Group. Shout out to BTP Media, Jeff Kwan out of the Bay Area. Much love to my brother. So now we're going to bring you a great interview tonight. Before we get started, let me give a shout out to our sponsors, BTP Media Group. 93.0 Tweed FM, ISM, Tweed Cadillac on Thursday nights, Blog Talk Radio, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, Street Level Clothing, the OG Golf Hats, streetlevelclothing.com, Dee Dee Harrison, author, publisher, producer, check out her books on Amazon, follow her on IG, Dee Dee Harrison. Also, the GLUShow.com is the official website for the G. Lou Show and everything associated with it. Also, we have a YouTube channel, make sure you go over there and subscribe to that. The G. Lou Show YouTube channel as well. Those are our sponsors for the evening. I'm going to welcome Queen Jean and Cousin Marcy to take it over for here to introduce our special guest tonight.
Hey, hey, and yay, yay. Cousin Marcy here.
What up, Cousin Marcy?
What's going on? Happy New Year. There she is. Hi, Queen. Hi, Mr. G. Lou. First show of 2023. Can't wait.
Yep. We got a good one tonight.
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting.
Good evening, Cousin Marcy, and good evening to everybody who has tuned in with us. We are the angels tonight. I like that introduction.
No, yes, G. Lou and the angels. You know, like Charlie got his angels. I got my angels.
Yeah.
You know, G. Lou's angels.
Absolutely.
Tonight, you know, for this extravagant event we have going on. You dig? Can you dig it?
That was so nice.
I can dig it.
Right? Yeah. Like, let me load my gun. Hold on a minute.
Hey, my back is to your back.
Like our
that.
Christmas picture. Like
a
Christmas picture, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's going
but
down.
Yes. Happy New Year to everybody. G. Lou, I hear you over there. I hear you over there. yes. That weather do that, right?
Yeah.
So I hope you're feeling okay.
A little excited.
This
yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Okay. And wearing your mask.
I got a flight in the morning. Okay. I'm good, though. I'm good.
He got a flight in the morning. You
no.
Know? He don't have his hand. Well, at least he don't have his hand on the steering wheel, right?
Stop.
Wow. Stop it, Queen.
Oh,
let's go.
My gosh.
Hey, let's get this thing started. Hey, we got our guests here. Go ahead and I'll let you guys do
Yay.
The honors and introduce our guest for this evening.
Okay, Cousin Mark, we're going to give you the honor to introduce our guest this evening. Let's start.
All right. Okay. So thank you so much, Queen. Thank you, Mr. G. Lou. Caller number 914-803-4001. You're now tuned in to Fabulous Fridays, our first show of 2023 with our special guest DJ Glenn. All right. This DJ, man, I have so many questions to ask, but he's born and raised in the Bay Area. DJ Glenn has always loved and appreciated music. He learned how to play the drums at an early age of 9, which helped him understand the theory of measures, tempo, and syncopation. This would come in handy as he gravitated towards learning the different aspects of a DJ. Glenn played his older siblings' record collection, which introduced him to everything from funk, soul, jazz, and pop music. Obsessed with the music, Glenn also began collecting his own vinyl to start building up his own collection of music. Inspired by DJ legends on the radio, Cameron Paul, Michael Erickson, Alex Mejia, Theo, just to name a few, Glenn continued to work on his craft and carving out his own style of DJing. So Glenn actually participated in a local radio Battle of the DJs contest where he won, okay, and earned a guest spot on the station. That's what I want to talk about. That guest spot eventually led to a permanent weekend mix show slot on the station. So I'm not going to get into all the details. We want to leave, you know, a few questions for, you know, inquiring minds like me over here. But we did want to go ahead and welcome in our guest if he's ready. Ready, come on out of the green room, the wonderful DJ Glenn. Let's go. Hey, royalty.
Hey, happy new year, everybody. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Happy new year. Yeah, we can hear you. Happy new year. Good evening.
Okay. Just want to make sure we all connected. You know, good to meet you guys.
Yes, sir.
Happy new year.
Nice to meet you.
Are you there?
How are you this
year? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, okay.
I'm doing great.
How are you?
I'm doing great. And you
so
guys?
So we're just good. I'm good. We're excited to have you on our show this evening to get the journey of, to get your journey so you can tell the people and tell us a whole lot more about you. Cousin Marcy did do a wonderful introduction, gave a brief description of your job.
Yeah, that was that humbled me what you were saying.
Oh yes. Shout out to DJ, what's his name? I just had it on the interview, but yeah, he wrote that for you. Actually, we have found that. So yes, that was beautiful.
Okay. Oh good.
Yes, and we got to shout out BTP Media Group for putting this together for us as well. Shout out to
yes, big shout out to Jeff, BTP Media Group.
Yeah.
Also want to shout out my manager, Ty Tiger, for also connecting the dots as well.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Shout out. So we can go ahead
before,
and get started.
Before I get started, because I don't want to do this the whole time, please tell us, to tell the people, what do you prefer to be called and how do you pronounce your last name?
Glenn, and the last name is Owry. So just think, like, you know,
Owry.
I hit you, you said ow, and then put a re on there. So Glenn Owry.
Yeah.
Okay,
hey, let's do that together. Owry.
Yeah. Ow.
I broke it down.
There you go.
Right.
You know what I did?
Yeah.
I broke it down in syllables so I wouldn't mess it up. So I just put the A dash U dash R E. So I wouldn't have made that mistake, but. We're just going to, because I also heard that same interview, watched that interview, Cousin Martin, that you're speaking of, and I know you also said that they were calling you DJ G Swift.
Well, it's a funny story why I'm actually using the government name as my DJ name. So when I got to KMEL, I was doing guest work, and then at the time, actually, I was going by G Swift with my earlier production that I was doing early on. So then when I got to KMEL, you know, they didn't know my name was G Swift. So they just, you know, took my government name. So they made a drop, you know, the radio drops that go on radio. So it's like in the mix with DJ Glenn, but instead of Owry, they said Glenn Orr. Then I was like, oh man, they said my name wrong. So, but at the time, you know, I'm 18 years old. So I was just happy to be on the radio. So I wasn't trying to ruffle any feathers, but of course, you know, it irritates you. So a couple weeks in, I called and I was just like, hey, you said my name wrong. Can you correct it? They're like, oh, yeah, no problem. Then what's your real name? And I was like, Glenn Owry. So then, of course, they fix it. And I hear it, but I'm like, oh, I should have told them G Swift. But at that moment, I was just like, I don't want to say it again. So essentially, I just rolled with Glenn Ary, and, you know,
wow.
Here we are.
Was that always mispronounced during your years of growing up in high school, junior high school, elementary school? Has it always been mispronounced?
Because spelled A-U-R-E, so, you know, people like, or your, or, ah, so, yeah,
yeah,
very rarely, even through high school when they're saying my name, it was said correctly. So whenever someone gets it right, I give them a prize. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, that's great.
That's it. Let's add.
But actually, like,
I
my production, yeah, my production work, I still go by G Swift. So, you know, so my good friends still call me G Swift. You know, I did some production work prior on some record projects, so I used G Swift back then. But when I got to radio and came to in the 90s, you know, it just it was Glenn Ary, and then just never looked back since. So that's, you know, that's kind of what my name was in the Bay.
Yeah, you're from the Bay area. I'm familiar with the KMEL. I don't know a whole. I'm just familiar with this station because we had a guest before who was speaking about KMEL. You want to give us a little background about that?
Yeah, KMEL is, if you're in the music business, KMEL is a legendary station that was, it was launched in 1986, so at the time, you know, in the late 80s, it was about pop music. There was really nothing on the urban side, so, and even hip-hop, you know, it was really college radio that was playing hip-hop. It wasn't hip-hop on commercial radio, so at the time, it was pretty revolutionary. It's probably one of the few stations at that time that would play hip-hop, so fast forward to, like, late 80s, and then around 90, they just started really blowing up, and I know people have heard of Sway and King Tech, so they were brought to KMEL. Other big people that later became like big A&Rs for record labels, and then Fio Mizuhara, who became like a big star in LA. So KMEL was a breeding ground for a lot of people, whether it was just like on air personalities, DJs, people in the record industry. So I was just fortunate enough to win that DJ battle to get my foot in the door. And then at the time, I'm 18 years old, so I just told myself, I got my foot in the door. I'm gonna do my best to just keep that slot. So I, you know, the early years I did weekend guest DJ work there. And then about 92, 93, Sway asked me to become his DJ. We had a show called the 10 o'clock bomb, two nights a week where we would just play the new hip hop. You know, we would get cuts from all the record labels before they were even out. So we really built that brand there. And then about 95, 96, Sway was asked to do the morning show. So he told me he wanted me to become his DJ there. So, of course, I did it. So, you know, we rocked the morning show for a few years before he left for MTV. And then after he left for MTV, I stepped up and became the music director of KMEL, and later became the program director of KMEL, which entails dealing with the music, you know, the staff, making sure the station runs correctly. So I had a chance to do that for a few years before I left the Bay in 2001. So that's the first half.
Okay, and for those of you who don't know, KMEL 106.1 is out of San Francisco, California. And their first air date was November 30th in 1960. That's a little bit information.
Before it switched to a hip-hop, it was actually a rock station called The Camel.
Oh.
It was like,
that's why Too Short. That's
yes.
Why Too Short. That's why Too Short said that in that song, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yep. it was called The Camel in the late '80s. It was a pure rock station, and then '86 they flipped it to Rhythm at the time, but they called it KMEL. You know. But if you're from the Bay, you remember that Camel slogan.
Right. KMEL is a legendary station. Salute to KMEL. Definitely legendary there. Can you tell us how we read in your bio and kind of the history, but if you can kind of break down how you got up, like how it all happened and how, you know, you definitely became an official figure there. when you kind of dreamed about it
yeah.
before.
Yeah, that's what I
yeah.
want to know.
Well, you know, as a teenager, you know, I was already DJing, you know, the house parties or whatnot. But like I said, I was listening to the radio and hearing these guys like, you know, like a Cameron Paul and Michael Erickson, the Alex Mejias of the world. And of course you dream of be like, I want to be on the radio. I want, you know, back then it was, they were really mixing. Like I know nowadays they're just playing, kind of DJs don't really have the freedom to play whatever, but back then it was all about creativity. So you would just hear right. these mixes that were just amazing, the production. So it inspired me to like, want to do that. So I would be like, I want to do that. So when I remember the first battle, the first year, I think it was King Tech that won. So that eventually led them, the Wake Up Show, to come to KML. And the following year was 91, and I was like, you know, let me throw in my tape. I sent in my tape, and what I got to lose, right? So I was one of five finalists to battle in a club one night. So fortunate for me, I won. And then part of the winning, I won two turntables at the time, two Techniques 1200. Which I still
oh,
hold
wow.
today, and then
wow.
Yeah, those are I cherish those things, you know, because it was kind of like my journey. It was like, wow, this is what kicked
right,
off
right.
my journey. And at the time, they gave me a little guest spot on the radio, so I just was like, okay, well, I'm gonna just keep turning in a guest mix and see if they keep playing it. And they did it
right.
for like a month, and finally they were just like, hey, why don't we just give you Saturday night at midnight every week? And I was like, I'll take it. You know, I didn't care, you know. So.
Right.
And then, yeah, it was once a week, but, like, for me, then I was like, well, now it's my turn to show the Bay what I can do, you know, in terms of production. It was, you know, so I would take, you know, like, we would produce our mixes, so, you know, we'd do two turntables. But it literally take me, like, in a nutshell, like, I would record, like, back then we had reel-to-reel machines, not, like, you know, computers nowadays. So it would take me, like, 30 hours to probably put together, like, a 45-minute mix that would air that Saturday, so... You can just imagine, like, you know, just the work you're putting in. Like, again, I know it's when you're hearing it, but, like, to me, I always thought about making it a movie where, like, you're hearing my mix and you're, like, just hearing different things where there's, like, I don't know, like, you know, like, I would record, like, sound effects from the outside to bring in into the mix and then, like, a piece of a movie to, like, put in there, then go behind a beat, you know, just weird stuff. But I
right,
think it
right.
helped. Create my style and people remembered that, so it just you know, in turn eventually, like, they were like, we need to bring this on more than just Saturday night. So then, you know, they made
when
me play
you,
like, you know,
wait hold up, even before you got there, when did you know personally, or when did you feel like personally appreciated, like, by not only the station but like the fans or the people, the audience, you know, the radio land, that the people were feeling you, or you were getting accepted. You know what I mean? When was that time for you, and how did that feel?
Well, I think locally, when I was a teenager, like in high school, like I was already kind of doing some of those production type mixes. So I'd have those mixtapes that were kind of floating around and in the high school, I give it to your friends, and next thing you know, everybody's dubbing them for their sets. And like, sometimes you're just hearing people in their car. And even prior to me getting to KML, I made two records with a legendary scratcher named D-Style. So I know everybody's heard of, like,
so
DJ Cuber, Shortcut. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just trying to pretty much tell me, look here, man, I'm not new to this shit. I was already doing it. My bad, bro. My bad, homie. My bad.
No. So, no, it's like I said, it was my passion. I love music. So, and at the time, you know, I was not naive, but like, when you're young, you know, and you love something, you do it. Like, whether it's sports, whatever hobby you do, my thing was music and DJing.
Right.
So I just lived and breathed it, you know, like all my homies, whatever, they did what they had to do, sports, or they were caught up, they was doing their, you know, stuff in the streets. But like, my thing was, you know, all right, don't mess with Glenn. He's all about the music. So they respected
right,
that.
Right.
And, you know, I just kind of tunnel visioned myself and like, this is what I want to do, and I want to, like, go further than just, like, whatever. When I had the opportunity to get to KML, when I got that shot, I wasn't giving that up.
That's dope. That's dope, bro.
That's real dope.
Go ahead,
shout out to you. Shout out to you. I was just listening, and that, you know, that's inspiring, because I was going to ask you about that as well. Like, when you said, I kind of, like, snuck in the door, but it just made you more hungry, I'm sure. Like, when you got the one day or and then the permanent weekend, you know, the mixed spot. But out of all those, everything that you kind of done, of course, working with Sway, I was so mad with Sway and Take Left LA. Out of all of those scenarios, which would you say was, like, your favorite point? Maybe the battle, the DJ battle, or which one of those events, or just getting your foot in the door and then being solidified in, like, a permanent position?
I mean, they were all important in my journey. Like I said, like, of course, I'm always going to remember, you know, winning that battle that night, you know, when they crowned me winner, and then those early like months of me just like turning my mix. But I was fortunate to like stay at KMEL from 91 to 2001. And in those 10 years, I started like I said, a weekend mixer, like one night a week, to then like a couple nights a week, I did mornings with Sway, and then become a music director to really like basically run the station. So that was all fulfilling. And for me, like, obviously everybody says the 90s is the golden era of hip hop. I mean, I say so, you know. At the time, like, hip-hop was really breaking on, you know, commercial radio. So I want to say KMEL was a blueprint for many stations across the country to introduce hip-hop to their stations. So when I look back at it, I just want to say, like, I helped, like, I contributed to that. And I'm not saying I'm the one who did it, but, you know, I could say KMEL and what we did in the 90s helped other stations around the country do what we call hip-hop radio today, you know, so.
Right.
If I'm proud of something, yeah.
Right.
I'm proud of, like, helping contribute to that movement, or, you know, nowadays you turn on radio, like, you know, hip-hop is the normal, you know, like, it's in commercials, it's in whatever, but, you know, in the early 90s, we had to fight for hip-hop to become on the air. It wasn't easy, you know. At time, corporate was telling us not to play it, and we were like, nah, this is what the kids want to hear. So,
That is so true. And thanks for mentioning how most of those stations, they got turned from rock and roll or hard rock, classic rock, just like out here in LA, like that was a big thing. So yeah, again, salute to you. Very inspiring.
Hey Glenn, let me ask you some of your inspirations as DJs. One of them, you mentioned Theo. I just want a clarification on the Theo. Is that a Bay Area or KMEL DJ? Because, you know, we had a Theo in L.A., so I was just wondering who that Theo was.
It's the same Theo.
He came from the Bay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I heard that before, but I didn't. Look, Marcy, so you know more than me. I know Theo from the beat. You know what I mean? But I did hear that, so that's why I asked.
So here's,
but thank you.
Here's the backstory. So we were all at KMEL in the early 90s. And he went by Theo Mizuhara. So we were originally just DJs, and then he was killing it as well. You know, it was like a friendly competition of our production. So, but we respected all, you know, each other. And then eventually he kind of started doing on air at KMEL. So, but back then he was going by Theo Mizuhara. He was obviously Asian, and then we had a sister station, The Beat, as you know, in LA. So KMEL and The Beat, we were sister stations. So we had a program director named Michelle S. So she decided, let's put Theo up in L.A. So he moves out to L.A. So at the time, you know, he had a little nice deep voice. Hey, everybody, you know.
Right.
But when he went to L.A., he dropped a Mizuhara, you know. So
okay, that's what it was. Okay, okay. Yeah, because you wouldn't know, right? We didn't know. We didn't even know.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, even with Theo for the longest, a lot of people, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know he was. Sorry, my mic is tripping, but you wouldn't know. We didn't know he was even Asian, you know, for the longest till we seen him, I think. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because his voice and how we talk. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then, you know, radio is a – radio is an audio thing. It's not a visual. So it was kind of like a marketing theme. They knew, like, all right, we're in an urban thing, so let's drop the Mizuhara. So he just my Theo, and then everybody fell in love with the voice. But then I think they held him for, like, a year before he started going out and doing, you know, appearances.
Right.
And then finally he went out, and they're like, what? This is the...
Surprise. Right, surprise.
Yeah.
But everyone's used to him at that point.
Nah,
his voice was solid. You know, he was in.
Yeah, you couldn't front. You couldn't front, and you know, obviously back then,
right.
he did a little cameo
and he knew his
and,
shit.
Yeah, so you know, shout out to Theo, but he came from Cameo. If you didn't know, like I said,
okay.
Cameo was a big breeding ground for a lot of people. Even some of the program
right.
directors in the past, Keith Napoli, who was my first program director when I got there, he is still head of A&R at RCA Records today. So you know, all the big stars, like yeah, he's like helped with. Who else? One of my program directors, you know, like moved on. I did, you know, and then even after I left KMEL in 2001, I did 10 years of radio promo at Capitol Records in Hollywood as well.
That's
so
why
I've done both sides, radio.
Capitol.
Yeah.
What was the difference with, well, even if you want to get into how you got into the music business with Capitol, but how was the music industry as far as that side of the game different from radio when you're working with like labels and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, doing 10 years of radio, you know, you're used to everybody hitting you up. Hey, can you play my record? What do you think of that? You know, and especially at the end when I was music director, program director, essentially, I was the gatekeeper. So if I, you know, if I wanted to put the record on, I would. You know, if I didn't like the record, I didn't have to play it. So it was basically how I felt. So, when I get to Capitol, it's like the opposite. Now I'm on the other side. So now I'm the one have to go cross country to every radio station to play whatever music Capitol has. And I admit the first couple years we didn't have like really good music. So I was getting a lot of like, oh no, sorry, Glenn. I like you, Glenn, but the record sucks. So, you know, just it was like coming from KMEL where you're the one getting the ass kissed and now you have to kiss the ass. You know, it's like a little frustrating. But at the time, you know, it was time for me to go. Like I said, I did 10 good years at KMEL. So I felt like, okay, let me take the next step for myself. So, and it was getting a little corporate at those last 6 months. So I was already kind of looking to like move. So
right.
Fortunately for me, they you know, they called me and was like, hey, you want to move to LA and, you know, become national director of, you know, crossover promotion. And at the time I didn't have no experience doing that. And I was like, I mean, you want to just make me a national? And I've never had any, they're like, I mean, come on, you come from radio. You already know how they treated you. So now you just flip the role, you know, but like I
said,
did
that start happening at the station? Oh, I'm sorry, Glenn. Did that start happening at the station, more corporate ties when like iHeart and things started coming around or Radio One?
Yes. Yeah. Like for us, we were we were owned by different chains, but then we were bought by, it was Clear Channel, which became iHeart.
Right.
But towards like the last year, you know, it just got real corporate. Like, and iHeart was, they were based out of Dallas and we're in San Francisco, so it's totally different markets, but they were trying to tell us what to play or what not to do. And we're like, you're not even here. So you're not even in the marketplace. How can you really dictate, you know, what we do? And, you know, it was just getting like I said, when the early 192, when we just got to KMEL, like the Sway and Tex, myself, Al, they were looking for us to like play new music. They weren't worried about like, whatever, you know, like the bottom line, like iHeart just cared about, you know, ratings and revenue.
Yeah.
They didn't care about the culture. Yeah. And you know how it is. Like,
story
I get it.
Story of our lives.
Business, but end of the day, you know, it's about building the culture, you know, and for us, and that's what we thrived on in the early years of KMEL, like the culture of hip hop, the culture of DJing, the culture of the music, the culture of the Bay Area. You know, we really, like today, like we hear the Loonies, I Got Five on it. E-40s, early stuff, all that was, and even Wild, you know, our rival stations, but if it wasn't for us breaking those records, a lot of those guys wouldn't have got record deals, you know, so, you know, like I said, if we didn't do what we did, like, it could have changed a lot of people's lives, you know, careers as well, so, you know, shout out to everybody, you know, in the Bay who was doing it in the Bay, DJs, people at radio, you know, like, I know you're interviewing me, but you know, there's a lot of people that I salute and respect.
We've interviewed quite a few DJs as well, and out of the Bay as well, and you know, everyone gives that respect to everyone else as their peers. You know what I mean? It's never no, I'm this, I'm that. It's respect amongst peers. So respect that. And one of those is DJ Prince, the homie. I know you're
Prince
familiar with him. Yes, sir.
Yep.
Family right there.
Yep, he was.
Shout out to Prince.
Yep, that's family as well. He was at KML. So when I know you might have heard the name Alex Mejia, another one of our
yes,
OGs.
Sir.
So he was already at KML when we got there. So what he did, we were DJs, but he took it one step further. Instead of hating, you know, and was like, oh, I'm going to be out for myself. I'm a senior DJ here. He said, let me take the talent that we have and make us a movement. So then he put us together. And then he called us the All-Star DJs, the KML All-Star DJs.
All-Star DJs.
Myself, Alex Mejia, Franzen. We had a couple other guys, Dave Meyer. So he coined that. So we called ourselves the All-Star DJs. And we were kind of like, you know, we were kind of like rock stars. Like, I know when you listen to radio, you listen to the air personalities and things like that. But because at the time DJing was a good thing and people wanted to go to clubs, like, you know, we were rocking all the clubs in the Bay Area, and if we were throwing a party and we're there, I mean, you know, people would want to flock to that. So, like I said, Alex kind of made us like our own little stars, and I took that with me. Like when Alex left to become A&R Virgin Records in like '95, I was like, let me take over and oversee the All Star DJs. And for me, I always wanted to make the DJ shine as well, because again, like back then, no one cared about the DJ, you know, but now, you know, like they're first and foremost. Like, so back then I always fought to make sure, like, you know, they, like when record labels would call me to be like thanking me that I'm playing a record, I would be like, nah, it's not me putting in rotation, it's the DJs playing your record, so I suggest you call them and thank them, not thank me, because they're the ones playing it, you know. So
right,
I always
right.
fought to make
That's
sure
so.
That they got their props and their respect, you know. So I've always been
That's
like
dope,
that.
Man. That's dope. That's dope. What would you say would your be, and then I'm going to take a couple phone calls. We got some callers, but let me ask you, what would be your defining moment? Because you've had many, like you said, as a youngster doing great things as a young DJ, you know, all the way up to moving up to KML, then getting into record labels and all these things. What would you say is your most defining moment as DJ Glenn throughout your journey?
Does it have to be one, or it could be like...
No, it could be whatever, as many as you
like,
want.
Yeah. Okay, well, I got a couple. The battle, winning the KML battle. Like, you know, like I said, like, that's something you dream of as a kid. Winning anything, winning a contest or whatever. So winning that KML battle, that was like, you know, I'll always remember that. And then the next defining moment, I think, becoming music director and program director of KML for me to have that journey of like, just, I was just a week, one night a week, Saturday midnight, 1 hour mixer, to then become program director of the station, meaning like you're the head honcho, you're running the station of a legendary station in the country, was another defining moment. And then I would say my career at Capitol Records, because I at Capitol Records
That's
I got
big.
To work with a lot of big stars.
That's
and,
big.
And just
did you get to go to the? Were you working at
the
big Capitol building? Did you ever get to go
yes,
to Capitol building?
Yes, I was on the eighth floor,
in L.A.,
Hollywood,
okay.
California.
All right,
yeah,
all right.
Looking
okay.
outside the glass
okay.
center window.
okay, okay. I always wanted to go in
what
there, man.
Dreams
you know
are
what I mean?
Made of. Me too.
Always wanted to go in
right?
there. Wow, that's beautiful.
That's why
man.
Though it looks it's a historic landmark building, but. Inside is a dump. Like, I think the carpets
oh, wow.
are still like
oh,
from the 60s.
Oh man, he just killed. He
like,
just killed it right there. He just killed.
In here.
Oh my god.
The whole vibe. Yeah, I'm like. But, yeah.
Wow.
You know, but like it would give me chills because I would, you know, I would park in the parking lot and then we'd walk in the back door entrance on the bottom. And as I walk in, you pass the studios of Capitol Records, so you know the jazz greats of the 60s and stuff, you kind of like, wow, they recorded here. And I walk across this every day, you know, for 10 years I did that, you know, so it was
wow.
kind of like, wow, you know, yeah, to see that, you know, you
that's beautiful,
not
that
you take it for granted, but you're like, wow, this is my workplace where like history was made here, you know, so
right,
yeah.
That's beautiful, man, that's beautiful, that's
yeah,
great to have on your resume,
experience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Little something, right?
That's beautiful, man.
That's a big
beautiful.
Something.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. Let me take a couple callers. if you're up for it. You want to take a caller, Glenn?
Yeah, no problem. You can hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah. We'll
All right.
You.
Let me go to phone line 818. You're live on the line. Hello. Good evening.
Hey, you got me on?
Yes, sir. What up, homie?
It's Prince Ice, bro. What's the deal?
Oh, man.
Oh,
wow.
Remember how many times
right
I mentioned when I was doing the interview with you guys?
Yes, sir.
Man.
Yes, sir.
This
yes,
dude
sir.
Right here, where we used to do the 11 and midnight mixes, and every week we used to just have to just up our game a little bit so that the other dude would have to up his game a little bit. It was great. What's up, Glenn?
What's up, Rich? And let me clarify that. So like I said, when I said I got the Saturday night mix show at 12 o'clock midnight, Prince Ice was right before me. He did 11. So we were like, you know, we were like the duo, that 11-12 slot. But like Prince Ice said, it was
you
like,
guys were,
like
it was a
friendly,
I know that was a
competition.
We were. And you came on after him?
But then at the – oh, yeah? I would hear his mix at 11, like, to see when he gets
wow.
hit. I was like, ah, oh, fuck, man, he's killing it. And then, like, I was like, all right, I got something for you, Rich. And then I know at 12 he's probably listening to my shit, like, ah, oh, fuck, Glenn
right.
coming with it. But, like, man, like, you know,
wow.
like that 1-2 punch that we had, I would put us up against anybody in that era at that time, man. We
yeah.
were kicking
all
ass,
the
man,
production,
so.
Bro. The
yeah.
whole trick was nobody else's mixes sounded like ours. We put that
yeah.
much time and effort in ours. That's what
yeah.
it was,
wow.
dude.
Like,
blessings.
Yeah,
and,
you know, like,
now I...
like, yeah, go ahead, Rich.
Go ahead.
No, like I was telling them earlier, like, we would be on for an hour, but, like, we would take, like, 20 to 30 hours just to make that one-hour mix because, you know, all the editing and production, the sampling and all that stuff we put it. Like I told them, it was a movie, not a mix. Because that's how we did it, you know. So, and we did that for years.
Oh,
so,
talk about
yeah.
this too. I told them all about this, man. I said when we was doing it, man, it was just like the amount of time and effort we have to put in a mix. We can only do one or two mixes a week, dude. We couldn't do more than
yeah.
that. And full time
yeah.
gig.
Right.
You know,
yeah. but,
that's beautiful.
But that's what made it special for the Bay Area because we had cats like Prince Ice, myself, Rick Lee. And I want to say what we did helped inspire the next generation of DJs that got on the radio to be like, okay, I got to do what they did. I can't just mix two turntables, you know, in a mixer. I got to do the production in there. So then everybody started buying 4-tracks and 8-tracks and then, you know, samplers and drum machines just so they could add that extra layer of production in their mixes. And I mean, you know, I got to salute like the Cameron Pauls of the world, the Michael Ericssons. But then when people like
yep.
Prince Ice, myself, Alex Mejia got to KMEL. We then elevated that bar for the next generation of DJs to do what we did. So salute to the Bay Area DJ.
For real.
Salute
dude.
To the
I
Bay Area DJ.
And then the other thing you guys were talking about was Steel. You know where Steel got all his stuff? Kevin Nash.
Where?
Oh.
Kevin Nash.
Shout out to Kevin
Nash.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I can see that.
Yeah,
now that you mentioned that, I can see that. Steel getting there from Kevin Nash.
Where is
Kevin
Steel
Nash
these
was
days?
At KMEL as well.
Oh, man.
Where's Steel?
What'd you say, DJ?
I said Kevin Nash originally was known as the Love Man on KML.
Love Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
That voice all sultry
now
and everything.
He took over LA, so all these I didn't know Kevin
time.
Nash came from KML either. Wow, I'm learning
yeah.
tonight.
Like I,
because you know he's
like
the
I
man
said,
at KML.
Was a breeding ground. Yep.
Wow.
So, but he was OG KML as well. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was. And
wow.
One thing I tell you about the Capitol building, man, it's gutted, dude.
It's a wrap.
The Capitol building is being retrofitted for earthquake, and it's going to be millions of dollars. Capitol's been moved all around. They're around the corner now, and Motown's
wow.
been split. Yep. So now they're retrofitting that whole building. You go inside, it's all gutted.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, like, really so. They still had, like, original carpet when I was working there, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to redo it. It's going to be fabulous. I can't wait to see it when it's all done. A couple of years from now, of course.
Right, right. Well, yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. For sure.
But, man, just to give you a shout-out, dude. You're kicking it down. All the nice little programming, all the people that came out of KML, man, awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you, Glenn, for always keeping me on my toes. It's beautiful,
bro. It's all love, man. Yeah, you inspired me, and you didn't know it because, like I said, I bought your mixed record before I even knew you. So to go to KML and know you personally and to be, like, right behind you, man, it's been an honor, man. And I'll go to war with you anytime, brother. Anytime, man.
Awesome. Right here, dude. Talk to me about it, man. All day. No worries at all, man. I'm definitely on your corner. Anytime you need me for whatever you need me, just give me a holler.
All good. All-Star DJs, baby, for life, man.
All-Star DJ.
Shout out to the All-Star DJs in the Bay Area.
All the time. Queen, G. Lou, always love, brother.
You already know.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to hear from you. Happy New
Always
Year.
Always a pleasure. Definitely that. Shout out to my man, Jeff Kwan.
Jeff Kwan, BTP Media. That's my guy. Shout out to Jeff, man. Speaking of the All-Star DJs, let me see. I might want to go to a mix you guys did, but if I could pull it up. Mind if we go to some music for a minute?
The golf cart?
Yeah. Yeah. Look.
Yeah, there's a little promo we did. We did a little photo shoot at the golf range.
You remember that, Prince?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we featured.
I don't think I was there then. I'd already
had left. Yeah, he moved on to Relativity Records at that point. Yeah.
Oh, you worked at Relativity.
I was at Priority then. I went to Priority.
Yeah.
And then I went to Relativity then. That's when he was music director and stuff. And I used to come see you, and he was like, dude, you got to get the DJs behind this record. You're going to get more spins than if I just add it overnight. I was like, boom, sold.
I had a lot of good people at Relativity.
Was blessed.
Relativity was good people.
Oh, man. Not only were they good people, it was a good time to be in the record industry at that time.
Yeah, you know, that's when they had Easy for a minute, didn't they? Harmony, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
That,
I was about to say they had Easy was over there for a minute.
Oh, my God. Easy was there. We got Bone Thugs and Harmony, Beat Nuts, but 3-6 Mafia. We had, I mean, everybody. It was just big. I worked at, tear the club up. I couldn't get the West Coast to play it, man, but my bread and butter was out there.
Rest in peace, Gangsta Boo.
Rest in peace, Gangsta Boo, man. Man.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, that set a club up was big.
It was really, KML was a little breeding ground. Like, a lot of that, it was like, you graduated, like, everybody thinks, like, you get to KML and that's the pinnacle. But a lot of us who got to KML was like, no, that's just a stepping stone. And went on to do other bigger things. Like
I had no idea all those people came out of KML.
Yeah.
I had no idea all those people came from KML. Yeah. Wow.
No,
I mean,
no,
of course, Sway and all them, but all the other people, I had no idea, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash. Like I said, never knew he came out.
Yeah, Kevin Nash. Yeah. Wow.
Man, he held all of our hands. He was the original when we did the Wake Up Show. He was the original board operator on Friday night.
Who was? Kevin Nash?
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash.
Yeah, he was. Oh, wow. I remember that. So I used to be glued between them, KJLH, and KACE, like all day. They came from all over, like in what they started as. Just, wow. This is history. This is awesome.
Yeah, we had a lot of great times. Great man. Kevin, okay. Tell him, Glenn, how every radio station that came to town for that one Gavin copied everything KML was doing. That's how all these stations blew up. We were there way before Hot 97 in New York. Way before.
He said the Gavin. He said the Gavin. They don't know about the Gavin. Tell them what the Gavin is, Chris.
I mean, so, all right. And the Gavin was essentially a music conference that was a yearly conference. There was a Gavin magazine, which was based out of San Francisco.
Yes, the Gavin,
so
yes.
It was about, they printed music charts, things like that. But it became a big deal. So what had happened, they started doing these.
That was before Jack the Rapper
year,
and all
but
that.
Then all, yep.
Oh, wait.
So Jack the Rapper, all that was, it was before, early 90s. So basically it would be all week. All the labels would come in and they would just either bring their artists, and then there would be every night different parties, and then everybody wanted to be on radio. So they would be hitting us up. Can we bring our artists to KMEL? And we would do, you know, interviews, whatnot. So, but like I said, when everybody was in town from across the country, they were listening to what we were doing at KMEL. Like I said, we were really progressive with the mix show and just what we were playing. So people were like, I mean, they were copying, I would say, you know, don't want to toot our horn, but like we were a progressive station back then. So it was there was probably no station like us in the country. So a lot of people were kind of taking our ideas from Sweepers to the production aspect to the mix show. Like, wow, they mix so much. Like they mix in the morning, the noontime, 5 o'clock at night. Like no one was mixing like that back then, you know.
Right.
So, and we were doing it every day, you know, and then Saturday would come and we would mix from 6 to like a 12-hour block, you know, so people weren't doing that. So, and then what we were playing was just like, wow, they're really breaking music, you know. So like Prince I said, labels would come to us and sit down with us to ask what should we release. They would ask us to pick the single for their artist to release. You know, I had many meetings where they would fly in and play me cuts off the album and ask, what should we go as the lead single? And, you know, I would have a few of us in there, and we would pick it. And sure enough, they would release it the way we picked it. So, you know, felt good to be like part
Hey,
of
was
that
I want to ask you, hold up. I want to ask Glenn or you too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you're a program director or music director. My dad was in radio as well. He was a program director at one time. But is that like when you move into more like the 90s when hip-hop was becoming more bigger and you being a program director or music director that kind of runs everything, is that like, which is great, I'm sure, but does it have its bad sides too where people pressure you or feel that you're not playing their stuff or people want you to play their stuff or does it become more corporate? Because now even, I don't know if program directors have the control they used to have. It's really more corporate, but... How was that for you when you had that position?
I mean, during the time it had its pressure, like, because again, you're the bullseye target. Like everybody,
right?
You wants their record to be played on the radio, and you know you got to understand, like, there's only so many slots. So even if I like 10 records, I might only have 3 slots. So you know, how do I decide the best 3? So then I have to like figure out like which records might be getting requests. Which ones might be blowing up in the club. So I'm asking my DJs, or I was still DJing. So then I'm getting my own research, or I'm asking like the girls in the office, like, hey, what do you think of this song? So, cause obviously our P1 demo was like the female 18 to 24. So I got to make sure like I'm pleasing them. So, you know, different aspects. So different types of research. So, and then sometimes, you know, it's business too. So, when we were doing the Summer Jam, our yearly concerts, you know, you want that big act, so you might have to do a couple favorite records, you know. I have to play this because I'm getting this artist. So, you know, I'm not going to lie about it, but, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So there were situations like that. That
let
come
it be
into
known.
Play, you know.
Go ahead, Prince.
Yeah, Summer Jam started at KML, dude. All these other radio stations stole that.
Oh, that's
too.
The first Summer Jam. Yeah. KML is the official Summer Jam.
Fact. Yep.
Okay. Let us know.
And when you hear people call Summer Jam concert, the first Summer Jam concert was 1986, or was it 88 or 86? I think 86. Or no, I'll take it back. 88. You know, KMEL Summer Jam was the first one. But then now everybody and their mama, you know, in every city across the country calls it Summer Jam. But the very first Summer Jam in the country was KMEL.
Wow. That's history right there. Shout out to KMEL. because Hot, if you would think Hot 97 made it up, if you didn't know no better, because it's like they took that Summer Jam thing over, right?
They took it
now.
From us.
Whole new generation, man. It's like where hip hop and R&B lived and all that junk, man. Nobody played hip hop.
Right.
We were like only listening.
Hold on. Oh my God. Prince and Glenn, what do you think now about, because you guys have been in radio, what do you think now about radio, though? I mean, like you said, you hinted at it, Glenn, earlier, that becoming more corporate and stuff, but now it is really officially corporate. What do you think about radio now?
I used to do radio promo, too. I was probably the first one between us to do radio promo. And radio now, if you look at it, it's all cookie cut. The big corporate conglomerate bought it. They say, okay, you're going to cater to the Latin market. You're going to cater to the, Caucasian market. You're going to, cater to the market. And they split it. And they all split it so that they got one big money maker, because Power 106 was bread and butter in here, right?
Yeah.
Power 106 was the one. All of a sudden, now the beat is back on. They own it. Yeah. Why? Because they want to be number one.
Right.
That's where the bread and
But yeah, I agree with Prince. Like, again, like, we got to live an era of radio and radio industry that will never happen again, like, of the 90s.
Never.
It was all about
real
creativity
radio.
Really breaking records and moving the culture, building the foundation of, hip-hop radio, where now it's,
That's
why. It's
one thing. It's all about
I can't even listen to the radio. Yeah. It's hard, man. It's hard.
They play the same five songs.
Even the DJs,
you would think even
satellite radio
power, but it's all playlisted now, so it's just basically
even the satellite radio. Satellite radio was made to be different. They're doing the same shit now. It's just sad, man. You got to have your own shit now. Your playlists, and thank God for the technology.
If you think about
it
right now.
Down to this. Real simple. Like ratings and revenue. That's what it's always been. They just want the ratings and the revenue. They don't care about the culture and nothing else.
Right.
And if the ratings and revenues isn't there, they're going to flip the format.
My kids don't even listen to radio. They all got their own program directors. They got their own playlist on Spotify, and that's what they listen to. Spotify suggests a new artist coming out. Radio doesn't have the same boom it had when we used to be, part of the team.
Right.
The promotion team fixing to get, they're getting starved. There's really nothing out there that's going to be like, now the whole chart goes by who's, supporting what streams.
Right. They're confused. The radio is confused now. That's sad. Radio is confused. They don't know what they're doing. They, like you said, they don't know. Popularity content.
And now everybody's on podcasts. You want to listen to somebody, you go to a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said thank God for the technology, at least,
one thing that came out of it, the technology aspect.
Record.
Yeah.
A lot of time been spent, I got test pressings of records that I've, I was the only one that ever played it in the Bay. College radio always used to be able to mix stuff in. But on commercial radio, nobody played De La Soul's Plug Tuning. Everybody was playing LL Cool J Rock. Everybody was playing all the other stuff. I was sitting there and breaking records and oh, my God, this is brand new. This is a great sound. That changed my whole life. That's really the wake-up show spun out of my mix show I used to do with Tech. On KSOL, this is even before Robbins came out. We used to sit there. We used to cut stuff, try to create things, and, all day long. And then, play the newest, dopest hip-hop record. Sometimes, KSOL used to cut my mixes because I was playing a lot of unfamiliar stuff. But the kids used to love it.
Mm. Wow.
Sure
I think it needs to be a movie or documentary or something about KMEL because and all the people that came from there, because it's definitely just a lot of people
a lot of
that is a legendary station, a lot of history. It's really the foundation for a lot of things in radio.
Tronis wrote, I don't know if you got the Dan Tronis book, but he wrote a book on that.
Okay.
Yeah, what was the name of the book? I had it somewhere here.
Yeah, I remember, yeah. But yeah, Dan Charnis, if you look him up,
yep.
He made a book. And
Dan,
okay.
Definitely wrote a book on the beginning of what happened radio and how dope KML used to be.
Okay. He's okay. Yeah, I got to look that up. Hey, but shout out to the Bay, man, the legendary Bay, man, where legends are born.
Absolutely.
Hey, let me ask
you,
since we're talking about hip-hop stations, radio, all that, what do you think about, period, the Bay, your hometown, your home and all that? What's going on in the Bay now as far as the whole get down from the music to the culture to everything, you know, how things expanded, gentrification, de-gentrification, you know, things are better, some of the things are worse, you know, a lot of things as the Bay as a whole. How do you guys feel about the Bay in 2023?
Real quick, the book is called Big Payback. Dan Charnas, read it.
Big Payback, okay.
Big Payback. Okay.
Got it.
Honestly, I'm not there that much anymore. I don't have the inside like Glenn does. I don't go up there that often.
Okay.
For myself, I actually just moved back to the Bay this past November. I've been in L.A. since 2001 when I was at Capitol, and then I've been out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, my family still in the Bay over the years, seeing the different things happen. But like I said, like I'm always, my heart's always gonna, you know, be for my hometown. So even me just coming back these last couple months, I gotta get used to just new things that, like, wow, this wasn't here when I was here back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, so how is it? So how do you think about it from today as from how you remember it?
Some of it's kind of like, wow, because even where I grew up in a town called Alameda, which back then,
right,
it was still like not fully developed, but then now, like, you know, like, wow, like things like In-N-Out or like Target,
right,
like, you know, things like that was never existed before. Now, like,
right.
They're there, and then, like, you know,
Alameda's
like
popping now.
That's there. Yeah, like the shopping center that they had before, they had like OG, like Woolworths, which was like 1960s, you know.
Shout out to
like
Woolworths, man.
Like,
they don't know about Woolworths, man.
Real old school.
Woolworths.
Hey.
Yeah, but they had that, like, still, you know. But
shout out to Woolworths.
But now you got the, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, in the local,
yeah, you lifted my
shoe shop, things like that. But, like, yeah, but, like, wow, now they got, you know, like, all high-end shops now. So it's just like, wow, what happened to Alameda, the town I grew up in. But
Alameda.
You know, for music, you know, the music scene, obviously, there's the Young Bucks kind of come up now. And so I appreciate that. Like I said, when we had the 90s, we had, like, the Loonies and the 40s and the Mac Dre, everybody, you know, like, you know, getting their record deals. So I was proud to be a part of that movement, helping them get on the radio, playing their records, helping a lot of those guys get signed. And then a lot of these guys now seeing what they're doing, I appreciate that. So letting people know, like, hey, the Bay really, really got some music. Always.
Got something to say.
Yeah. You know, from our slang, the way we dress.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
We got to stop.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. You know,
man, the Bay
is
what's that? Trendsetters. Definitely trendsetters. Always have been,
yeah.
You know, like you said, the slang, the culture, the game, you know, the Mac. The Mac was in the Bay. It's just like so many things is just, you know, it's cemented with the Bay, you know, so it's definitely a beautiful thing. Beautiful.
So we don't get our props all the time, so, you know, shout out to the Bay, you know.
Yes, sir.
I think
that's
y'all
new
get
to, shout
yeah.
out to the Bay.
Yeah, we love the Bay, so I don't know who ain't giving y'all props. But we got callers out there. Callers, you want to speak, press one. We will bring you in. You can holler at the homie Glenn. He's here. We got the homie Prince Ice is here. You know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a family affair. I got Queen Jean. Cousin Marcy stepped out for a minute. I want to get into this mix, though, this DJ, the all-star DJs, though, right quick. Hold on. Let me take a caller before we do that, Glenn.
Okay.
Caller, hello, 415.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. I don't know if I'm on or not. Hi.
You are on.
This is KB Adams, and I'm calling. Yo, Steve.
Oh. Steve. Steve's
I love
not
this
here.
Guy. I just met him like a year ago, and not even a year ago, and he's a super down to earth guy, and I could listen to him. I can listen to him 24/7. He's just excellent. But I heard from somebody that he is responsible for breaking Lauryn Hill's "Can't Take My Eyes Off You." So I was wondering if he could tell the story of how that happened.
DJ,
oh, you gonna put me on the spot?
Yes, come on with the info. Let us know.
Okay. Yeah, just say no if you can't.
I'll tell the story, you know.
Let's go. Let's go.
But okay, so everybody knows the song, right? Lauryn Hill, "Can't Take My Eyes Off You," right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so how it came to radio. So little did you know. I don't know if you. Here's the backstory. It was actually on the soundtrack of Conspiracy Theory. It was a movie with Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts. So at the time, right. I went to the movies, and I was on a date, and then the movie ends. So everybody's walking out, you know, so I'm trying to talk to the girl, getting my Mac on, right? So, but the credits are rolling, but like at the very end, like the people were pushing the popcorn out. It was like the lights are on, and finally I was about to get up, and then I hear in the background the song come on. And I was like, what the fuck? It sounds like Lauryn Hill. And I was like, yo, I need this song. And at that time, what was early 90s, there was no, like, MP3s. You couldn't get nothing. So in my mind, I was just like, I'm going to wait for this movie to get on VHS. I was waiting for it to get on Blockbuster. Not even DVD. But it was still Blockbuster VHS. So, couple months later, had it. I take the VHS tape, I put it in my VCR, and I run the VCR cables into my mixer. I EQ'd it to make it sound good, and I made a copy. I brought it into KMEL, and I'm like, we're going to put this on the air, and it's going to go crazy. And at the time, our rival station was Wild. I knew that they would want to copy it, so we put the KMEL sweepers like every 30 seconds, but KMEL. So in case Wild would record it, they couldn't play it on their air because it'd have our thing. And so then we were doing the morning show with Sway. I told Sway, we were about to world premiere this new Lauryn Hill song, made a big deal about it. We play it. It blows the fuck up. Phones are ringing off the hook, number one phone. And then later that day, I get a call from the label saying, like, where did you get that Lauryn Hill song? And I was like, don't worry about it. They're like, you can't play that. But, you know, they're playing it because I guess Wild called and was like, what the fuck is this? Why does KMEL have a Lauryn Hill song and we don't? And so then I was just like, what are you going to do? You know, so we just kept jamming it, playing it every day. And they couldn't figure it out. The label was like, where did you get it? I'm like, we got it from Lauryn Hill. And then they're like, well, Lauryn Hill doesn't even want you to play it. I'm like, number one phones, what do you want me to do? And so this was going on for like 2 weeks. And then Wild was, like, just pissed because I heard that they were calling, like, mad, like, why the fuck does KMEL have it? And then what happened was finally, like, they found out where I got it, and then they were forced to then, like, send it out to the rest of the country. And then by that time, people started putting it in, and then that's essentially why that song came to be on radio. And fast forward, it was funny because months later, Lauryn Hill's in town to do her tour, and then they invite me backstage to meet her. And then I remember, because they had told me that Lauryn didn't want it out because she didn't like the song. So I thought maybe that was why I never made the album. And then because we blew it up and it became a national hit, you know, everywhere, it wasn't on the album originally, but after the first 500,000 copies sold, they had to strip it in as a bonus track on the next pressing. So if you buy that album today, it's a bonus track, but it's because we forced them to put it on there because it blew up so big. And
because of you.
She's about
That's what I'm saying. How does that make you feel? That has to be great, man. I asked him yeah. earlier what was some of his greatest moments. I don't think he mentioned that. That should have been one of them because that's big, homie.
That's pretty awesome.
Was when I was backstage, and it was funny because I really thought that was the reason why it didn't make the album because she didn't like the record. So then the rep's like, hey, stay here. And all of a sudden Lauren comes out and they're like, hey, Lauren, come here. And then the rep busts me. I was like, yo, this is the guy that played Can't Take My Eyes Off You. And I was like, oh, fuck. You know, I thought, and then she walked up to me and she kind of gave me a stare like, oh, you're the one? And then all of a sudden she started smiling and then she opened her arms and she hugged me tight and she said, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Because essentially,
wow.
like, it helped her sell a few more millions. She's almost at 10 million. That's almost a diamond record, that album. So,
wow.
I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And
that's beautiful.
And then topping on the cake.
That's good. That's great.
Months after meeting
I get. I'm going to hang up right now, but so you
thank
guys
you, caller.
Can get some more calls. But thank you. Talk to you later.
Thank you, caller.
I'll see you
okay.
tomorrow.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay. That was another nice little moment in my time.
Yeah.
Right.
Shout out to
That's
the caller. That was a great question.
Shout out to the caller.
Bring that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, do you want to go into this mix? Let me play this mix right quick, though, man. The All-Star DJs, homie.
Right.
We'll be right back. Flashback Friday.
Your number one for classic radio listening. Air checks. By Radio Mania.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This will twist your heads.
Check this out.
And I would like to play a little tune I just composed not too long ago.
Fucking
it's not the way to do it.
Sorry, wrong beat.
Okay. Check this out.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
Rock jumps up on the scene with a lean and a pocket full of green. The green doesn't symbolize I made it on the top, but Robo's
cop last year was a shock. The tone of the Popeye cut shook your butt. Kids are screaming, the media says what kind of music is this for you to dance to? The man with the plan and the band demands you. Leave the smack and the crack for the whack, for the ball and the knock, keep a smile like that. Leave the knife and the gun in the store and ignore temptation sent by the nation. Racial game cause it's pain, he's a new rep. In your heart and mind, never forget you set. Hawkins, and when you're walking, you know just one. Black on black, remember that, it's important. Anyway, the shunless one, bring forth the fun. No hatred, the summer's almost done. No time for sleep, jump in your Jeep and pump up the funky beat. A holy fever goes off, yo, smash it and trash it. You're too young to be plumped in a casket. Just get your boys and bring the noise and just swing it. Your party people, swing it.
nobody's perfect. I just drop to those who deserve it. And believe me, y'all, it's worth it. So here's to the future, cause we got to the past. I finally found somebody that can make me laugh. You so crazy. I think I wanna have your baby.
Bomb rap song, hitting all night long, just like like me on the black and white ivory. Getting six on a Tidally. You don't wanna see a G break your nose like dishes. Muster up the pricks, sleep with the fishes. Running from Lennox up at Venice. They wanna have me a strike like Dennis the Menace. But that ain't poppin', ain't no stopping. Faux hoppin', droppin', coup the bill. My truth can heal. Fool, I got skills. So back on up before I check that chin. Down the street and I'm full off hen. You get no love and I thought you knew it. Fool, you know how we do it. Coming from the west side, chilling with the homies, smelling the bud. Double parked and I'm talking to Dub about who got a plan, who got a plot, who got, and who got shot. Cause everybody knows that he got the info. Crazy tunes hanging out the window. Ooh, I got them bombs, hey, the lynch mob. Planet of the eight, I'm down with eight. And what's up, Cam and Solo, they got something. When Ice Cube ride a sentence, I want the bomb. Just like George Clinton, SKT is down to catch a body. Put it on knee deep, we'll turn out your party. It gets no love, and I thought you knew it. Fool, you know how we do it.
Property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warmer G was on the streets, trying to consume some search for the E, so I could get some phones, rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC, on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweak. All of you search, know what's up with 213.
So I hooked a left on 21 and Lewis, some brothers shooting dice, so I said, let's do this. I jumped out the rock and said, what's up? Some brothers put some gas, so I said, I'm
got these girls peeping me, I'm on glide and swerve. These hookers looking so hard, they straight hit the curve. Want to figure better things than some horny tricks. I see my homie and some suckers all in his mix.
I'm getting jacked, I'm breaking myself. I can't believe they taking more than 12. They took my rings, they took my Rolex. I looked at the brother, said, damn, what's next?
They got my homie hemmed up and they all around. Can't none of them see him if they going straight pound for pound. They wanna come up real quick before they start to clown. I best pull out my strap and lay them busters down.
They got guns to my head, I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my own town.
If I had wings, I would fly, let me contemplate. I glance in the cut and I see my homie Nate.
16 in the clip and one in the hole. Nate Dogg is about to make some bodies turn cold. Now they dropping and yelling, it's a tad bit late. Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate. I let my cat explode. Now I'm switching my mind back into freak mode. If you won't skirt, sit back and observe. I just left a gang of those over there on the curb.
Now they got the freaks and that's a known fact. Before I got jacked, I was on the same track. Back up, cause it's on N-A-T-E-N-E, the woman to the G.
Just like I thought, they were in the same spot, in need of some desperate help. The Nate Dogg and the G-Child were in need of something else. One of them names was sexy as hell. I said, ooh, I like your size. She said, my chords broke down and just sing real nice. Would you let me ride? I got a car full of girls and it's going real swell. The next stop is the E.
Riverside Motel.
Now everybody wanna play my phone. Now everybody wanna play my phone.
what's up? This is DJ Yella, straight out of Compton, and you're listening to the world famous. Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella coming straight out of Compton, and you're listening to the G Lou Show. You know what I said? The G Lou Show in the house.
Yay, yay. We are back at it, the G Lou Show, Flashback Friday, G Lou's Angels, Queen Jean, Cousin Marcy are with me too. And we're back with our special guest, DJ Glenn.
Live man, mix those right were there. Some dope.
Boo.
Man, they were dope. Flash. That was fire.
Wow. I didn't know you was going to play the whole mix, man.
Yeah, man, we had to let it ride, man.
That's definitely nice.
A flashback down memory lane. I think that was like 92, 93, so that's like 30 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. So even me, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Had me over here vibing out. I had my own little party going.
Yeah. But, you know, like I was saying earlier with like Prince Ice, like it was kind of like what we did. I know like certain parts, it was kind of just like you could hear the production aspects of things. So like when I would make those, I know it's like 30-minute mix that you just played, but that probably would have took me like 3-4 days to put together because it's just like the different pieces and the overlays
right.
and the sampling, the different songs. So that was like the creative aspect and the production.
That's why it was worth playing the whole thing to give you your props, homie, and your flowers, bro, for all the hard work you put in for that.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. But that's what I did. It was the passion of the music and DJing. That's what I really love. It was never about, like, the fame or, like, I want to be popular. I just wanted to play music. And that was, like I said, growing up, youngest of six kids, listening to my brothers and sister play their records and I was just intrigued by the music, so that's all I wanted to do, just DJ and play music. And, you know, fortunate for me, I made a career out of it, and I'm still doing what I love to do today.
Yeah, when it's
right.
your passion, that's
you.
What it becomes. It becomes successful when it's a passion, and that's what it is and was for you. It's a passion, so this is why we have the DJ that we have now, because those mixes were dope. I'm telling you, those are some they have some fire behind them. Okay, G Lou.
Thank you.
No, I was just going to ask him, because I meant to ask you this earlier and it slipped me, but I have to ask you this about the connection and you getting down on the Ice Cube album, Bootlegs and B-Sides, man. After the Lethal Injection, the Bootlegs and B-Sides, because, man, that's an incredible mix on there as well that I used to bump, you know what I mean? I didn't even have no idea, so... Fast forward to now, and you know we're connecting. You're on my show, so tell us about how you got connected with Ice Cube to be
how
a part
that
of
came
that
about?
Album. Man.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So I think it was '93. I'm just maybe 2-3 years in at KVL. So I'm still a young buck. I think I was in maybe early 20s, and then I get a call from the Priority rep that hey, he was doing a greatest hits album and he wants to put like a mega mix medley on it, and they said we're reaching out to a couple people, you're one of them, so basically we need you to put together like a little mega mix. But then he called me on a Monday. He's like, Cube's coming to the office on Thursday, so you literally gotta work on it today, tomorrow. You have to overnight, because back then it was no MP3. I physically had
right.
to make it and like dump it down like on a CD or DAT, and then overnight it so they could get it, like, by overnight it a Wednesday, they get it Thursday morning, and Cube was, going to get it. So I think for 48
right.
hours, I didn't sleep. I just stayed up. And back then, we didn't have computers yet, like Pro Tools or all the applications DJs use today to record. I was on an 8-track
right.
reel-to-reel, So
wow.
I basically stayed up for two days straight working on it. Wednesday sent it out so they would get it Thursday, and then Thursday afternoon I get the call back and they were like, Cube listened to all three, he went with yours, so it's going to be on the album. I was just like, what?
Wow.
So essentially he picked my mega mix, which then was on that bootlegs and B-sides album. And then
wow,
he went on it went gold, sold over 500,000 copies. And at the time, I was just happy to be a part of it. So, you know, I got a little money out of it. I think when they sent the check, it came from, like, Lynch Mob Records. And then it's signed by, like, O'Shea Jackson, you know, Ice Cube's real name. So I think I photocopied
right.
it, put it in a frame. I was like, oh, yeah, look, I got a check from Ice Cube, you know. And then
right.
I think it was, like, at the time, the Source, remember the Source would do write-ups about albums.
Right.
So then they were reviewing that album. And I forgot, maybe four or whatever, but then one of the nice things they said in the end, they mentioned the mega mix, and they were saying one of the hidden gems on the album is the mega mix, you know, and then there was like the scratching and the production. I was like, you know,
wow.
Give me
you
my
gotta,
props. So,
you gotta have that copy,
I gotta
right?
find that magazine.
You gotta still have it.
Yeah,
you gotta have that, bro. You gotta put that in your collection.
Yeah. And then I later got a plaque, you know, for the project from Cube. So that was another like nice little gesture, you know. I had that on the wall,
right.
Full record, you know, for that. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
But yeah, that's how that came about. So yeah, and then obviously when you open the credits, if you look closely, if you have that album too, you open it up, it says produced and mixed by DJ Glenn Oury, aka G Swift. So I got both names in there.
G Swizzle.
But so you played that before?
Yeah, I haven't played it tonight. No.
Before?
Yeah, before, definitely. That's, man, that's the last song on that album, people. A hidden gem.
Yeah.
You know, the mega mix on the bootlegs and B-side. I used to just bump it crazy. That's what I'm saying. Before I knew, you know, about you and all that. I used to bump it. So it's crazy to now have you on the show, man. It's a beautiful thing, you know?
Yeah.
Check
so another one of my fortunate, you know, right time, right place, I guess, right?
right. So what's next up? What's next up for Glenn, man?
So currently right now, I'm still in the music industry. So after leaving Capitol, you know, doing 10 years of promo, I started my own promo company. So I still work with a few major labels doing indie promotions for their artists. So I do work for like Def Jam, Epic Records, Republic Records, Interscope. So whenever they drop their, you know, new records, I'm the one calling like radio on their behalf to kind of promote. So that's my side company there. I still DJ. I try to, when I have time, I DJ on Twitch. Now a lot of people are doing that platform. So I have fun doing that on Twitch. I think we talked about earlier about how radio has now become like handcuffed and it's not creative anymore.
Right.
The beauty of Twitch
right.
is basically you could do whatever you want. You want to curse, you can curse. You want to play whatever, you know, doesn't matter. So I find freedom in
okay.
that. I can escape and like become, I can really become Glenn Oury of the old with creativity playing on Twitch. So, you know, if you're on Twitch, you can look me up, DJ Glenn Oury, DJ Glenn with two N, and then Oury, A-U-R-E. You can follow me there. I try to go on, usually I do once a week, but, you know, now New Year, trying to get a schedule going down, so you can find me there. I still do production, so I'm still trying to do remixes and whatnot. I know, Gene, you guys, like, I did, like, a post yesterday on Instagram, one of my I think I put that Freddie Jackson and you both flamed it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I do stuff like that still. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still trying
can't
to
go wrong
that.
With Freddie.
Yeah. So yeah.
No.
So I still try to, you know, keep my production skills sharp. So I still try to do remixes and just getting back out there. So before we get out of here, I know we talked about defining moments. So I know I talked about the DJ you know, going to KML, then came Capitol Records. So I want to shout out one particular person right now who's my manager, the real Ty Tiger. I know she's listening, but I brought her on last year. But like I said, this last year, what she's been doing for me, it's like almost a rebirth for me. So like I said, I've been content with what I've been doing, but I think this past year she showed me that, you know, you have a following or people know you from before. So I'm a humble guy. I'm shy. I'm you know, I'm not big headed. I'm not out for the fame or whatnot. But I think she kind of let me see that, like, people enjoy me listening. She was a fan. She told me she listened to me in the early 90s when I was a teenager. She was a fan, so it made me think that let me reach out to the masses. So that's why now I'm trying to get out there more. She's putting me together. That's, you know, she helped me connect this show with you tonight. So I just want to shout her out, and like I said, it's been a blessing to have her on my team now. And you know, like, there is no me without her right now. So I just want to shout out the real Ty Tiger. Thank you for all you do, and I would call that another defining moment for myself in my career.
That's awesome. Shout out to the queen.
That's right.
Yes. Well, I wanted to say to you, thank you so much for coming on to the show and giving us this amazing conversation with the history that some of us here on the platform was even amazed by that we did not know. So we thank you for the conversation and sharing the history of your journey, and peace and love and blessings to your prosperity as you continue to grow. And like she told you, people know of you. As long as somebody know of you, the word will spread and you will continue to grow. You're amazing. I loved all those remixes. I mean, those mixes that G. Lou just played. Those fire. I love them all. So peace and love to you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me. And one thing I like to say is, I think it's music. Music is universal. You know, there's no color lines. There's no, you know, races. No, I mean, you know, music brings us all together. Like it was funny for me because when I programmed KMEL, I'm Filipino, I'm Asian, but KMEL was an urban station, so all our clubs was primarily, you know, African American. So I'm like the lone token Asian guy, but I'm the one DJing, rocking the club, and everybody's dancing. But it doesn't matter like what race we are. We're in there for the music, and that's why I, you know, music to me is the universal love language for everybody. So
I agree.
It's all about
the OJ
says
it best.
Yeah.
I love OJs. I love music, any kind of music. Yeah.
Yep. I do. Yep. So music brings us all together. You know, it's all about love with music. So I think I will stand by that. I've always prided myself in that. And, you know, I think that what keeps me going today. When I'm sad and, you know, I have my days where I'm down on myself.
Absolutely.
Or I have a bad day or whatever, something happens. You know what I do? I go back and listen to a song that calms me down, a remix that I may have made that, like, just makes me feel good inside, and that's what gets me going, or that changes my mood to like, all right, let's put that behind me and let's move forward. So it's all about the music.
Of course. Before we really let you go, it has been a pleasure. I'm so thankful to have been able to be here for this. But my last question would be, DJ Glenn, this way have the answers.
You don't have the answers. Way. Man, I got to shout out Sway. I mean, I love that guy because, again, like when, you know, before he even left KML to go to MTV or even to LA, you know, we spent many years together. Like he lived in Oakland, I lived in Alameda, which is like maybe about 20 minutes away. But when we did the morning show, a lot of times I would pick him up in Oakland at his grandma's house. So I would have to pick him up at like 5:30 in the morning. So there was times I would be so sleepy that I would forget to pick him up. So I would just get on the freeway. And then a couple times I'm like, oh, smack. I'm like approaching the toll bridge and he's calling me like, where the fuck are you? I'm like, oh, fuck. So then I would pay the toll. And before I cross the bridge, I have to make a U-turn, come back. And then we would call the producer like, we're going to be late. You better just play a couple songs.
Wow.
But yeah, like, you know, I love that brother. And it was kind of cool. Like 2 years ago, he, you know, obviously he does Sway in the Morning now. He asked me to do a mix in the morning that, so I got to like play on Sway in the Morning. Yeah.
I saw that.
So,
yeah.
So it was like full circle for me to, you know, do that because we did that for 2 years. So for me to be on his show, you know, it was really heartwarming to be that. And man, he gave me so much love and just, you know, really like broke it down before I got to play. So I think that's on my Mixcloud. You can go to my Mixcloud and hear that mix. And then, but man, yep. I don't know if he has any answers, but I will say,
I know.
Slave love in the Bay. And
well,
him because again, like he started in like 91 and we were just doing like late nights. They were doing the King Tech wake up show. And then from there, we got, you know, they got to go to LA. So they simulcast both markets. And then I remember when he told me I'm going to MTV, I'm just like, wow, that's fucking amazing.
Wow.
You know, here you are.
Hey.
Kid from Oakland growing
hey.
Up and then like you're going to MTV. Yeah.
Hey, Glenn, were you able to see when they were doing the wake up show, were you able to see like in real time, like the history they were making at the time, like all the people that were coming
oh,
through
yeah.
there, even though they weren't big at the time, but the legendary stuff
oh,
they
yeah.
were doing over there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, before they went to L.A., you know, we were doing it every Friday night in the Bay Area. So I was there mm-hmm. hanging out, you know, and like I said, a lot of the rappers before they became big, you had to do the wake-up show, you know, up-and-coming
right.
rapper. Nope, you're going to the Bay to do the wake-up show. That was mandatory for all the labels to bring, so... A lot of those early rappers of the, you know, 90s from Nas, so, you know, Jay-Z, everybody who came through the wake-up
show. Everyone
came
through there.
We had
him and them.
Then we had the legendary battles. Was it Hieroglyphic against Hobo Junction, Saphir and Kaz, you know, that was
Hobo
like going down to history. I remember. Yeah, you know,
man.
So that was there was probably like 100 people in the studio just crammed up in there because it was like a historic moment, you know, and yeah, I was there, you know, so. But the crazy part
wow.
back then, we didn't have like iPhones to take pictures or not.
Right,
it was
right.
Basically, yeah, it was just like if you were there, you was there, you know. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful story, beautiful journey. We got the legendary Glenn Owry here with us tonight on Flashback Fridays with G. Lou, Queen Jean, Cousin Marcy. And it was incredible, man. Thank you for your time, brother. Thank you for your story and sharing your, you know, story with us tonight, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me, and you know, I had a great time with you guys.
Thank you.
Me as well. Yes, thank you.
All righty, take us on
yes.
out here, Queen and Marcy.
Happy New Year's again. I just wanted to say blessings and Happy New Year to you and yours. And keep on trucking. Just keep on trucking.
What she said.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm going to be digging into these mixes this weekend. The kids is going to get another lesson, okay? This is DJ Glenn Owry, okay? We're going to get
you.
Him this weekend. Don't be a stranger. Come back to see us sometimes. But I don't
all
have
right.
anything else other than that. Thank you, G-Lou and Queen Jean.
Yes, peace and love to everyone, to our audience, and everyone. And again, shout out to BTP Media Group, Jeff Kwan, for making this possible. So shout out to you, Jeff. Thank you so much.
All that being said, we out of here, y'all.
We
all right, love,
peace
I
out,
say.
Y'all. Love you guys.
Peace out, y'all.
Peace.
Thank
love.
You, homie.
One love.
Peace.
I say.